Our subject this morning is the miraculous catch of fish. Luke chapter 5, beginning with the first word in the first verse. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, Jesus asked him to put out a little from the land, and Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish. The nets were breaking. They signaled for their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and they filled both the boats so that the boats began to sink. But when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Verse 9, "For he," Peter, "and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men.'" Verse 11. "And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Jesus." I want you to understand that this entire event took place for a purpose. The purpose is stated at the end of verse 10, when this miraculous catch of fish was over. Jesus then told those men, "From now on, you're going to be catching men." The purpose of this event was so that these men would understand, you are no longer going to be catchers of fish, but now you are going to be catchers of men. Jesus performs this miraculous catch of fish in order to indelibly stamp on the hearts and the minds of these men that now you are to take your life and you are to catch men for the kingdom of God. Now that's the purpose. That means that everything else that we're going to pull out of this, our explanation and our instructions on all of it, have to center around that purpose. That now your lives are not about fishing for fish and water, but now your lives are about catching men and saving souls for the kingdom of God. Now watch this. By way of introduction, I want us to stand back from the passage and look at it as a whole. And there's two things by way of introduction that I want you to see about this from the viewpoint of the whole. First of all, I want you to notice by way of introduction that this is a story of failure. This is a story of failure. Look with me again now at verse number 5. And Simon answered, "Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing." Now, brethren, this isn't just failure. This is total failure. Nothing. This isn't just failure. This is complete and utter failure. We got nothing. Now, let me tell you something about this failure. These men failed when all human reasoning said they should have succeeded. Human reasoning said they should have succeeded because these were professional fishermen. These weren't amateurs. These men weren't weekend warriors. These guys weren't like you and I standing out there at the riverbank trying to decide which end of the pole are we supposed to hold. These were professional fishermen. Nobody around that lake knew better how to get fish out of that lake than these guys. These were pros. Human reasoning said they should have succeeded because this was their livelihood. Listen, getting fish out of that lake is how they put food on their table. It's how they put clothes on their family's back. It's how they kept a roof over their heads. This was their livelihood. Human reasoning says they should have succeeded because they knew all about what to do, but they utterly failed at this. Human reasoning said they should have succeeded because, look at verse 5, they worked hard at it. Peter told Jesus, "We have toiled all night." They didn't hit and miss. They didn't work a little while and then sleep a little while at this. In fact, the word that's used, "we have toiled," your translation may say "we have worked hard." The word there means they worked to the point of exhaustion. These men worked up to the point that they almost collapsed trying to bring fish out of that lake, and they failed. Well, why were they working so hard? Because we don't catch fish today, our families don't eat today. We don't catch fish today, we don't get paid today. All human reasoning said that these men should have succeeded. But Peter said, "Lord, we have toiled all night. We haven't caught anything. Lord, in spite of all of our knowledge, in spite of all of our experience, and in spite of all of our expertise, we have failed." You know what that means? That means these guys got something in common with you and me. Because all of us know something about failure. We have all failed at home. Amen. We have all failed on the job. We have all failed in relationships. We have all failed with our brothers and sisters. We all know something about failure, and at many points in our lives, we could look in the face of Jesus and say exactly what Peter said, Lord, we got nothing. Look at the passage again. Not only is this a story about failure, secondly, by way of introduction, this is a story about success. Look at verse 6 and verse 7. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and when they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Look at this. The exact same men in exactly the same spot who had colossally failed now have greatly succeeded. You see it? Watch this. Because now their success has exceeded their own expectations. Of success. What does that mean? Here's what that means. That means that right here, the Lord had more success in mind for them than they had in mind for themselves. Wow, that's a statement. If you had asked them about a successful catch, you know what they'd have said? They'd have said, listen, if we can get a couple of nets full, we've been successful. In their mind, success is if we can fill a few nets, that's good. But in the mind of Jesus, success wasn't about net fulls. It was about boat fulls and sinking boats with so many fish in them. Jesus had more success in mind for these men than they had in mind for themselves. And God hastened the day when those of us who are the men and women of God will understand that in His church, the Lord has more success in mind for us than we have in mind for ourselves. We talk about success. Well, you know, if we just get a few more. Well, you know, if I could just fill up my pew. You know, the Lord says, look, you got this big boat here. Fill the boat up. Fill the boat. So here, watch me, we're about to turn. We're about to turn. If you ain't watching, we're going to be going this way and you're going to be going that way. And we all going to laugh at you. Here is a story about an absolute monstrosity of a failure. And here is a story about a monster of success. And now the one question that I'm asking is this: what happened? What changed? What happened so that something that was so bad could become so good? What changed in order for this monster failure to become a miraculous success? What happens here that changes things? Now, we're going to go back into the passage. And what happens here is six things. We're going to look at three of them this morning, and we're going to look at the other three next Sunday morning. You say, well, we only going to get half of it, so we getting out early. It sounded just like you said we were getting out early. I'm sorry. You don't know how long a half can be. What changed? What happened from we have worked to we almost collapsed and haven't done anything to we got so many of this, we're all about to drown in them? What changed? Six things. Here's three of them. Number one. The very first thing that happened is they acknowledged their failure. They acknowledged their failure. Look at verse 5. Simon said to Jesus, the master, "We have toiled all night and taken nothing." Are you listening? No one progresses beyond the point to where they're willing to admit their failure. Oh, I gotta say that again. No one progresses beyond the point to where they're willing to admit their failure. The first step to overcoming weakness is you must first admit, I got the weakness here. All of this begins, this leaving of failure and coming into success, all of this begins with coming clean before God with it. Just coming clean with it. Listen. What is your failure with God? What is your failure with God? Well, now let me explain. Stop. You're about to make an excuse. Just stop. Don't talk. Listen to me. What is your failure? What is the failure between you and God? Yeah, but it's what? No, stop. No excuses here. We have to acknowledge our failure. This is it. We got to come clean here. People been making excuses since Adam and Eve. Hadn't worked for them. It's not going to work for you and I. We have got to come clean here. They were the worst failures could be. Now they're great success. What happened? The first thing that happened is they said, we made a mess out of this. They acknowledged their failure, and that's what we've got to do. Now listen. Come clean. What's your failure? Is your failure unfaithfulness? Come on. Is it unfaithfulness? Is your failure unfaithfulness in Sunday worship? Look, let me get right to the point. What is it that's more important than Sunday worship? What is it? Now, there have been thousands of articles written about the necessity and the help of Sunday worship. There have been thousands of sermons preached on that subject. But it is absolutely obvious that there are many Christians who think that there are things that are more important than worshiping God on Sunday. So what I want is somebody to tell me, what is it? Here's what I can tell you. I can tell you that nothing is more important than Sunday worship. And here's what I can tell you. I can tell you that there's always, always going to be an excuse not to come here. Acknowledge your failure. Is it unfaithfulness in the Sunday worship? Listen, is it unfaithfulness at home? Well, I haven't been the husband and the father that I ought to be. Then say that, acknowledge that, come clean with it, and fix it. Well, I haven't been the wife, I haven't been the mother. Look, what is your failure? Come clean with it. Look, stop making excuses. Stop pointing fingers at other people and come clean with God with what you haven't done. We'll get to what she hasn't done in a minute. Right now, we're talking about what you need to do. Acknowledge your failure. And here's how simple it is. Until you acknowledge your failure, the rest of that doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. Putting the rest of it on top of not acknowledging your failure, you may as well put a Band-Aid on cancer and say the cancer's gone. Acknowledge your failure. Number two, the second step from getting out of this failure and into this success is that they agreed on the Word of God. Now, look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. Simon said, we have toiled all night and took nothing. That's the failure. Now, watch the second thing. As soon as they admitted their failure, the next word, but at your word, I'll let down the net. They acknowledged their failure, and then they immediately got into agreement with the Word of God. Now, do you know what Peter is actually saying right there? Peter is standing there looking right in the face of Jesus. And Peter is saying, look, Lord, in spite of the fact that we have fished all night and caught nothing, in spite of the fact we know more about this fishing business than you do, you a carpenter, we're the fishermen out here. In spite of the fact that we know more about all of this, Peter says, but because you say so, we're going to let down the nets. What happened here? Brethren, don't miss this. What happened here? They acknowledged their failure, and then they got into agreement with the Word of God, and that's what we got to do. We have to come clean with God, and then we got to line up with this. Acknowledge a failure and then get in agreement with the Word of God. Now, I want to show you two examples of this. One is a very general example of a passage we need to get into agreement with. And the second one is a very specific thing we need to get into agreement with. First, open your Bible, turn back, you're holding Luke 5, go back to Matthew the 6th chapter, and you know where I'm going, verse 33. We need to get into agreement, listen to me, we need to get into agreement with what our purpose and what our priority in life really is. Because a lot of us are confused about that. We need to get into agreement with what our purpose and our priority in life is. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." Look at that verse carefully. In that verse, there is an action. The action is seek. You need to get into agreement with seek. The word isn't sit, it's seek. The word isn't smile, it's seek. That's an action. Look at that word. After the action, there is a priority. Seek first. What is first? First is what comes before everything else. I said first is what comes before everything else. I said first is what comes before everything else. The action is seek. The priority is do this in front of everything else. Look at that verse. There's a goal there. The goal is the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't be confused by that. The kingdom of God is talking about God's rule over your life. What you're to be seeking in front of everything else is for your life, to allow your life to be ruled by God. That's the kingdom of God. That's the rule of God in your life. And righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is the doing of right by the eyes of God. So what are we doing? We're seeking. When are we seeking? Above everything else. What is the goal we're seeking? To let God rule me and to do what's right in His eyes, not my own eyes. Look at that verse. There is a blessing there. All of these things will be added to you. If you get busy with the action of seeking, if you give it the priority of seeking above everything else, what God wants, God said, "I will take care of the necessities of your life." Listen, we need to get into agreement with this. You know why we struggle? Because we ain't in agreement with the Word. We have got to be as much in agreement with the Word on Sunday and on Saturday. I'd ask you where you were last night, but I'm afraid some of you wouldn't remember. And Lord help you if you don't know where you're at now. They failed. We got nothing. Now we got more than we can handle. What changed? They come clean with God and they got into agreement with the Word of God. Get your life into agreement with God's priority and God's purpose. There it is right there. Just get into agreement with it. Let me say now the second thing, and this is a specific thing. Turn to Mark chapter 16. You're still holding Luke 5. Turn to Mark 16. And verse 15. We need to get into agreement with the Word of God. Generally, we need to get into agreement with what God says our purpose and our priority is. Secondly, we need to get into agreement with this fact: God wants us to catch men, and that brings us back to Luke 5. Look at Mark 16 and verse 15, and I'm going to explain something you didn't know about this. Mark 16 and verse 15. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." Now let me explain something you don't know. The expression in that English Bible you got in your hand, "Go into all of the world," is properly translated as "you are going into your world." Well, what does that mean? That means as you are going to whatever your world is. Your world may be a factory. Your world may be a school. Your world may be an office building. Your world may be a bowling team. Wherever your daily walk of life is, wherever your daily life is lived, that is your part of the world. And what Jesus is saying is as you are going to whatever your world is, Jesus said, take the gospel with you. Now look what he says. He says, go. Jesus says, go. We say, no. Jesus says, go. We say, wait. Jesus says, go. We say, well, I can't. Brethren, listen, we need to get into agreement with that. We need to get into agreement with that. We still need to get into agreement with it. Every one of us have friends and family members who are without salvation. Now, let me give you an approach, okay? Here's how to go. Go to them. Are you listening? Is anybody else listening? Go to them. And here's the approach. When you go to them, don't try to win the argument. Has that worked before? Forget that. Don't. No. How about this? Go to them and say this. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. How about that? Listen, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Is it okay I pray for you? I want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your family. How about this? Then invite them to service. If they want to fuss, look, don't argue with them. Just say, look, we disagree on this, but please understand, I'm praying for you. I'm inviting you to come service. Look, listen, what did these men do? They failed and then they succeeded. They were awful and then they were great. What happened? They came clean and said, look, we messed up. And then they got into agreement with the word. Number three, and we go to close. The third thing that happens here in Luke 5 is they accomplished great success. Look at verse 5 one more time, and then we're going to drop to verse 6. Verse 5. Simon answered, "Master, we've toiled all night and taken nothing." That's acknowledging failure. Keep going. "But at your word, I'll let down the net." They got into agreement with the word. Then what happened? Verse 6. "And when they had done this," pause. When they had done what? When they acknowledged their failure and got into agreement with the word. When they had done this, done what? When they came clean with God about what they had done and then got into agreement with the word. When they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish. The nets began to break. They signaled for their partners in the other boat to come, and the boats began to sink. When you acknowledge your failure, When you get into agreement with what this says, what happens is success. Two examples. Somebody who's not a Christian. You're not a Christian. What do I need to do? Here's what you need to do. You need to acknowledge your failure. You're a sinner. Don't be surprised by that. The rest of us are too. So acknowledge your failure. You have messed up. You've told some lies. Hey, man, you stole some stuff. I've been watching you. You stole some stuff. So acknowledge your failure. Look, come clean with God. I'm a sinner. Then get into agreement with the Word. What is that? That's faith. I need faith. Why do I need faith? Because faith is what changes your heart. And then you need to repent. Why do I need to repent? Because repentance will change your lifestyle. And then you need to be baptized. Why do I need to be baptized? Because baptism will change your relationship with Jesus. You go from being outside of Jesus to being in Jesus. So what do I need to do? Acknowledge your failure. I'm a sinner. And now I need faith because it'll change my heart. I need to repent. It'll change the way I live. And I need to be baptized because it'll change my relationship with Jesus and place me in the body. Well, what if I've already done that and I'm a mess again? People can mess up after they straighten up. Amen? What do I need to do? You need to do, listen, you need to acknowledge your failure. I messed up. I was trying, but I messed up. The disciples were trying that night, but they still caught nothing. You can try and still mess up. So just look, come clean with it. I messed up. I've sinned. I've fallen back. I'm backslidden. I'm away from God. I'm not as close as I used to be. Just own that. Well, what do I need to do then? You need to get into agreement with the Word. In Acts 8 and verse 12, it said a man by the name of Simon believed in Jesus and was baptized. He's a Christian. Then after that, he messed up. He wanted to buy some power. God ain't for sale. And then what happened to him? He got into agreement with the Word. Peter says, what you need to do is you need to repent and you need to pray. And that's what you need to do. If you're a Christian and you've gotten away from God, listen, you need to just acknowledge, I have messed up. You need to get into agreement with the Word. You need to change your life and ask us to pray for you. And then what will be the blessing from all that? What you will have succeeded in doing is your relationship with God is back. So here it is, and it's not brain surgery. Peter said, Lord, mess this up. We got nothing. We got nothing. Did you notice they were washing their nets? You know what that meant? We're done drying. We're finished here. We're going home. Jesus said, throw that thing back out there. So at his word, they did. They acknowledged their failure. They got into agreement with the Word, and success came. Now, that's what they did, but that don't mean none to you if you're not going to do it. Are you willing right now, not later today, right now, just come clean with God? Just, I'm through living this lie. I'm through hiding all this stuff. I'm done walking this way, looking over my shoulder. I'm finished with that. Come clean. Get into agreement with the Word. Change your life. Ask us to pray for you. That's getting into agreement with your Word. And then reclaim what you had with God at the beginning. Reclaim your salvation. Well, let's talk about it some more. No, let's not. How about let's do what we know now? And we'll get together later and talk about it some more. But when we learn, we do. When we learn, we do. Come clean. Get into agreement. Get success spiritually right now as together we stand.